Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Skoda. We may not be made here, but everything about a Skoda is made for Ireland. Visit skoda.ie.
Radio 1.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Skoda. The all-new Skoda Karoq, the beautiful new compact SUV from Skoda. Drive a compact with impact. Visit skoda.ie.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And 51551 is our text number. Sheila O'Connell contacted us. Sheila, good afternoon.
Hi.
You contacted us, why? What did you do this morning?
Well, I rang Micheál Martin's office yesterday, but they weren't there after five, and I left a message, you know, that they might ring me back, but when they didn't, I got my son to drive me out this morning, and when we went out, I sat in the car, and my son went to the door, and the door was locked, so he rang the intercom, and the girl said, she wasn't opening the door at all, because it was closed today for security reasons. You know?
This is the constituency office. And Sheila, did she say why it was closed today for security reasons?
She didn't actually. I was in the car with my son.
And when you say you asked your son to drive you down to Micheál Martin's constituency office, what were you going to say to him?
Well, I'm pro-life. And I have 7 children, 18 grandchildren. And when I lived around the corner from his mother, when I got married first, then his mother used to look into the pram. And when my eldest child, she'd look in and she'd say, "Oh my God, you've a beautiful child. He's smiling up there all the time at me." And then when I had 3 walking up the road, she'd come over and she was a lovely lady. You know what I mean? Now I have 9 grandsons and 9 granddaughters, and they're all very good children. They all love each other. One of them is out, one of my grandchildren now is out in Africa. There's another out in China and another in Australia. They all went through college. You know what I mean? The eldest is nearly 29. I'll be a great-grandmother now in March. Well, she's going to bring the baby home for me to see the baby in August.
But Sheila, I
don't agree with Micheál Martin. Like, life is precious. I have a grandson that was born at 7 months, and when I went up to see him in an incubator, there was a baby 24 weeks old in the incubator. That baby turned out beautiful. You know what I mean? I don't agree with, is it all a kind of a voting thing now for Micheál Martin coming out with this?
And do you agree with termination in any circumstances?
I like, there's certain things about it, you know what I mean? Like, a baby, there's a heartbeat in a child at 11 weeks old. You know what I mean? If someone is pregnant, like, up to 11 weeks, there is a heartbeat in a child.
In his speech, Micheál Martin says, "As such, I support the idea of a time-based cut-off. The committee, as you know, recommended 12 weeks near the end of the first trimester, which is that. Beyond this, I believe we should make provision for cases of fatal fetal abnormality and serious threats to the health of the mother." So, abortion, this is the proposal. The first proposal is to repeal the 8th, as you know. You're against repealing the 8th Amendment before we go anywhere. Is that correct, Sheila?
Pardon?
You're against the repeal of the 8th Amendment.
I am, actually.
Okay, so that stands. So, Micheál Martin also said that he's changed his mind based on the work of the committee, based on reading reports, based on meeting people, based on listening to gynaecologists, obstetricians, experts, as he calls them. Does he not have the right to change his mind?
I don't know. I mean, his door now was closed, to my opinion, this morning.
Well, how do you know that? The door was closed for security reasons. Maybe they don't open it when there's someone there on their own, generally.
But I rang yesterday and I gave my number and they never rang me back.
Okay, well, he's been on the radio all morning, But Sheila, can I ask you, you'd say to Micheál, I completely and totally disagree with you. That's what you're going to say, isn't it?
I'd have my own opinions on it, you know what I mean.
And what do you want Micheál Martin to do now? He's made his position clear. He is going to support most people are going to support the idea of a referendum, it seems. He is going to support the the proposal that the Eighth Amendment be removed. And then he said, in further to what the committee's recommended, abortion up to 12 weeks. Once you go to a GP, you don't have to have a reason or whatever per se. You don't have to say you're suicidal or whatever. But once a GP agrees that you genuinely want an abortion, it is allowed up to 12 weeks. And then after that, it is allowed in the case of fatal fetal abnormality. In the case of rape, it's allowed up to 12 weeks. So you'd be saying all that to me, Hamart. I don't agree with you on that. But like he says, well, I've come to this position. What can you then say to him, Sheila? Can you say I won't vote Fianna Fáil anymore, or I'm going to canvass against you?
Well, I would be Fianna Fáil, but I wouldn't be voting him. I think he only did all this to get ahead of Leo Varadkar.
Well, in fairness, he does. Well, you could have a point there. He says at one stage in the speech, there is more than enough information available for each of us to be able to decide our attitude to the core recommendations of the committee on the need for a constitutional referendum and the changes that should be made following a referendum. So basically, I think what he's inferring there, the way I read it, is that he's saying the time for politicians, and indeed, I suppose, adults sitting on the fence in this issue is long over. There's more than enough information available for each of us to be able to decide our attitude. Maybe he's having a little go at Simon Coveney there as well, is he, his constituency colleague? So you're saying you won't vote for Micheál Martin, but you will vote for his constituency colleague,
Michael
McGrath.
Michael McGrath.
So you'll stay...
He's pro-life.
You'll stay with Fianna Fáil.
Yeah, well, apart from anyone that comes to my door that's pro-life, I will vote for them.
OK, say there, Sheila. Rory Fellows has contacted us, 51551. Rory, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Jim.
What do you... Sheila, obviously, as you see, vehemently disagrees with what Micheál Martin has done. What do you think?
Well, to be honest, Jeff, the first thing I would say is that they're not passing a law that says you have to have an abortion. It's simply a question of a choice that is being offered. And I suppose my position is that it is not actually the position of government to make moral judgments for us. This lady who obviously...
Sheila.
Sheila has a very clear position and she has a family to show for it. But, and as I say, there's no obligation for her to follow a new set of codes or moral codes for herself or for her family. But choices are made. There are, I think, of course, the obvious and extreme things that are going on. I mean, the prenatal or whatever it is, you know, predicted death and all those things which are just horrific. But the truth is we are in a situation in which it is quite possible in the early weeks of pregnancy to buy a pill that will dispose of that. And this business of God and what he might or might not want of us, I mean, I personally... not convinced that he's all that more bothered about us than he is about the ants that are splattered on my windscreen or insects. But even if he is, we have taken so much out of his hands in terms of saving people whose lives would naturally have terminated very early on, including fetuses, that we have to come to terms with the fact that if we're going to have taken control of those things, we are now in control of those things.
Okay, and Sheila, what do you think of that point by Rory that abortion is a reality? And in fact, in his speech, Micheál Martin said, abortion is a present and permanent part of Irish life. It seeks to force women to carry a pregnancy to term when they have been the victim of rape or incest, or when they've received a diagnosis of a fatal fetal abnormality. Do you accept, Sheila, the contention, and Rory has made it there as well, for example, this pill that I think you can get, it works up to 70 days. But the point that Micheál Martin makes that abortion is a permanent and present part of Irish life.
I don't know, choice is a terrible way to describe what you do with an unborn child. Like, up to 11 weeks, a baby's heart is there at 11 weeks.
I know, but it's not there at 7 weeks, and it's not there at 70 days. And the point is, functioning brains and it's, you know, what God knows or does not know about the destiny of each human. I personally find it very difficult to make judgments about what God thinks. I'm sorry.
And Julie, can I ask you, would you be disposed to voting for Fianna Fáil?
Rory, you mean?
Rory, sorry. Would you be disposed to voting for Fianna Fáil, Rory?
I vote for Brendan Griffin, who I think is an excellent politician and a thoughtful man. And I am generally disposed to vote for Fianna Fáil. I think that they have a good good philosophy.
And would this change your view? Sheila said she will vote Fianna Fáil, but she won't vote for Micheál Martin.
Well, I personally think that Micheál Martin is not a man that I would naturally vote for, I have to say. Not about him I don't like at all, but in this particular thing, I think he's made a rational judgment that the position of politicians is to guide in these issues. It is not to lay down laws.
Mm.
They can offer their moral guidance, but they're not actually our moral authority. They make laws that make society function. And in a 21st century world, I'm afraid, part of birth control involves abortion, and part of medical science means we know in advance when someone's life is either terminal or tragic, and we can make that choice. And yes, it is choice.
Okay. Stephen is a member of Fianna Fáil. Stephen, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. Good afternoon.
51551. Sheila, as you can hear, is very upset indeed at the change that she sees being made by Micheál Martin. First of all, what do you think of the? Is it as seismic as people have been saying? One commentator here this morning saying it's the biggest vote fast in a political party since Taoiseach Liam Cosgrave walked across the floor of the Dáil in 1974 and voted against his own government's contraception legislation and felled it, defeated it. Would you see it in those terms? Were you surprised by the speech?
I was surprised, yes, but I was also thought it was a very thoughtful and very compassionate view. And knowing Micheál, he probably spent a long time listening to various views. And I mean, it's not necessarily a change in the political party. I mean, we've had a free vote on this. Micheál is a member. I think he showed respect to all our members by allowing a free vote on this. And I think we should also show him the same respect. I know people don't agree with him, but I mean, he made this decision after quite a considerable time reviewing everything. I personally am pro-choice. I always have been. I know colleagues of mine are pro-life.
And what are you hearing from fellow Fianna Fáil members' reaction to the position now being adopted by the leader?
A mixture. I mean, I think most who disagree with him do respect the fact that that he has come out and articulated his position, even though they don't agree with it. They understand it. I mean, this is such a complex issue, Joe. I mean, particularly as a man, I don't think I really have a proper understanding. I mean, any person who's gone through fatal female abnormalities, rape or incest, I mean, as Simon Harrison says, we can't outsource this anymore. Abortion is a reality. You go online and Google it and you get it. That wasn't there when the original referendum was about. So I think we have to look at the realities of it. And I would just say to people to respect other people's views. I'm sure Micheál's views are very thoughtful and very well held, and he's taken a long time to come to this decision.
Okay, Sheila, what have you been hearing from your family and friends about the change of position by the Fianna Fáil leader?
We kind of don't agree with it, really. I think he saw the way the wind was blowing, and he changed his views.
And what way do you think the wind is blowing, Sheila?
As I said, Joe, any pro-life candidate will get my vote. Party does not matter, really.
But you have been a supporter of Fianna Fáil and Micheál Martin.
I wouldn't support Micheál Martin, no, honestly. I would.
Joe?
Micheál McGrath, I think, is way better.
Okay.
He's pro-life.
Joe?
Okay. Yes, Stephen, yes.
I just say, I mean, if you want to bring this down to a political view, from a political viewpoint, it would have been better for him not to make the statement, because I think that it's fair to say the majority of Fianna Fáil are pro-life. But he did say early on that we'd all have a free vote on this, the Oireachtas, the party members.
Okay.
He's a member himself. He's entitled to his view.
Okay, well, he is a leader now. That makes a big difference, and he does get the time and the speech in the Dáil chamber, so it has got a resonance. Patricia, good afternoon. 51551 Joe at RT.ie. Patricia, you say you're very hurt by what Micheál Martin has said.
Yes, I am, actually, and I don't accept his bona fides. actually on this at all. I mean, he's right up until really the last minute he was pro-life. And then he mentioned, I think, mentioned fetal abnormalities and the other one, rape, particularly in the case of children. Actually, I do have sympathy for him in that particular last one, not in the former, though. But I do think that he completely did a volte face, and he has, he's in fact following the herd, not he's running with them. He's not leading. And actually, I think this has been a principal problem for Micheál Martin, is that he isn't a natural leader. And I think he is trying to, it's just political experience, he's trying to garner the vote and the young people's vote. It's just, that's just what it is. It's following the herd.
And would you be, can I ask, because I've asked others, would you be a supporter of Fianna Fáil generally,
yes,
Patricia?
Okay. Yes, I would have been and have been for many years.
Okay,
I mean, I will not vote for them, actually, because
So you're saying quite clearly you will not vote Fianna Fáil again?
No, but I won't vote for any of the others either, because they're all going in the same direction. I really am furious about it, because there are not many principles in life, but to me this is a dearly held principle, and the right to life, I believe, is fundamental, and it's been undermined all the time, and the UN is undermining it, and they talk about how the rights of the mother, you know, was being breached in the case of fetal abnormalities, for example. This is something that really riles me. Why would a mother end the life of her own baby if what she most fears is the death of her own baby? That doesn't add up, and the psyche doesn't resolve that issue when you do it, because in many of these instances, and they're allowing for this up until full term. I mean, that is brutality to do that to these, and it's also discriminatory, by the way, to allow to them. Are they less human than other types of human being? I find it abhorrent, I haven't heard anybody make this point, but I think any basic understanding of psychology, it would indicate that, and research indicates it, that mothers do better who bring their babies to full term. And I just totally reject the idea. I know it's hard sometimes in life, but that is, like Shakespeare said, you have to be cruel to be kind. Life is like that. We have to face up to things at times. But when we do, all you have to do is listen to these wonderful women who do this, because they recognize they're in tune with themselves. They understand themselves. They understand they won't be able to live with themselves if they go and kill their own baby. But I think there is something else underlying that point, and I am actually very angry about it, because it's pandering that particular issue, and this is where the UN Committee on Disabilities have challenged them on this. It is actually exploiting a natural inclination of the parent to want to have a normal baby. Everybody does that, and I admit to that myself. But I would have accepted a handicapped child too. And I think they're playing on that fear. It's a kind of a Richard Dawkins social Darwinist mentality. To reject like this.
Patricia, what do you think? What do you think of Rory Fellow's earlier point? And he said, like,
I didn't hear it.
I was just going to try and paraphrase. And basically, he was saying is nobody's going to be forced to do anything. What the change, as enunciated by Micheál Martin, the change would give people a choice up to 12 weeks, obviously, and longer in the case of fetal abnormality.
Yeah.
So nobody has been forced to do this. It is simply a choice that's been made available to women up to 12 weeks if they're pregnant.
Yes, I know that. And it seems like as if the herd will go for that choice.
Patricia, one thing I'm determined to do in this bout over the next few months of hopefully debate is that we won't use any names. Like, what do you mean the herd?
Because I do think it is very curious, Joe, that actually it seems to me. And because up until this, we were pro-life, largely. There was that belief that we were mostly pro-life in this country. And then there was some arm-twisting done by the UN on the point. And they particularly have played on this issue. And I believe this has been done very cynically, actually, of fetal abnormalities for years they've been working on it. they've been working on it. And then, and I suspect, why all of a sudden did the whole populace seem to go in the other direction?
But you're going on the base? Well, I suppose that the four main political parties are all now in favour of repealing the 8th, and it seems.
Yes, we have had the others, and they all thrown in the towel. You know, it is a basic principle if you believe in the right to life. It's a very, very important principle, and it is under attack.
Do you accept, Patricia, what Micheál Martin said in the speech, that abortion is... the reality is that abortion is a present and permanent part of Irish life.
Yes, he's right about that. And I do accept that up to a point. But if you have a sincerely held principled view of this, that's just that's present pragmatism. Now, I don't want to overemphasize this. I'm a Christian, and I have my view is, and I believe it is an old fashioned view, but that we go the extra mile, and that the benevolent mother goes the extra mile for her children. And society, civilization, you might well say.
Given, as we know, and Simon Harris, the Minister for Health, read out the different the numbers from, I don't know what county you're in, Patricia, but the numbers, I don't know whether you followed Simon Harris's speech in the Dáil on Wednesday night, where he actually enunciated the numbers from each county in Ireland.
And yes, well, I heard about it, yeah.
Many Irish women are either going for abortions or are getting this pill, which you can get now in the post through the internet, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And what do you think of women then who have abortions?
Yes. Well, I mean, I've had friends had abortions, and I mean, I try, this is again based on my Christian values, that I do not judge individuals, and we can't. Mm-hmm. But that is a reality, and I accept that. But if you have a view, a conviction, a principled view of this, I think that goes before politics. It is primal. It's the trump card in the way I judge this, and I will vote against this because of it. I won't have this is not a pragmatic decision in the sense of a political one, and I think that's how. Why pro-life people are the way they are, and they stick to their guns.
Okay, let me thank you, Patricia. Let me bring Ronan in, 51551 Joe at RT.ie. Ronan, good afternoon. You were listening to Sheila O'Connor.
I was, I don't want to be overly abrasive. I'm not trying to personalise things or anything. It was just, she was talking about her family and her big family. It was like, and I go, that's fantastic. You know, she's a happy, healthy family. That's great. And that frames her opinions on things. From my view, we had an 8-month-old daughter who passed away last February. It's her first anniversary coming out in a few weeks' time. Yeah. And she had a genetic form of epilepsy, which is nearly impossible to control. And what we saw her go through, me and my wife both had a conversation one night, and we just said, if we had time over again and we knew what was going to happen to her, we couldn't let it happen. To watch an 8-month-old, she was 3 months old when it started. 5 months of suffering, that's all she had, you know. She knew we were there, you know, and all this, and we were, you know, her whole family was there for her, but all she had was suffering. And this is a thing that congenital disorder that, you know, could have possibly been detected beforehand. And I mean, I know it probably sounds cold and harsh, maybe, you know, but I mean, it's a hard, you know, we don't take any of this stuff lightly either. I mean, we went through a horrible experience, but if the option, and it is an option, that's what people have to be reminded as well. It's an option. It's not saying it's not going to be a free for all. It's going to be like carefully monitored and checked upon. And if that was open to us at the time, if we'd known what was going to happen to our little Zoe, I just don't think we could have allowed it to happen to her. And I know what one of the other callers said there, that like to killing the baby because you don't want her to die. That's kind of, but it's not that. It's not the dying. It's the suffering. In the meantime, that's what we watched, and that's what our family and the nursing staff in the hospital, nursing staff at home. That we all watched it, and you know, that's it's the like, that's the other side of things as well. Like, yeah. I mean, it's not, if people say fetal abnormalities, like, they're, you know, this is like a phrase that's thrown around. Like, I mean, but it's for a lot of people, for obviously for lots of people, like, it's a reality. It's not just a phrase. And it's not just, you know, I get the impression some people think that this is going to be like a cop-out for people. It's not. It's nothing. It's never the type of decision that's going to be made lightly or taken lightly by any parents. And, you know, this, it's just give people a choice, you know, that's all. I mean, Micheál Martin, I mean, like, I would stand by him as well. I know I never really kind of, I'm never massively politically minded, but I mean, to me, that takes serious guts now for him to stand up in front of his whole party, which, as you mentioned earlier, are quite majorly pro-life. I mean, it's a big thing for him to step up and say, like, now this is where my cards are, you know what I mean?
Okay. Did you know before your baby? Sorry, you gave your baby. You called her name. I didn't catch her name.
Zoe was her name.
Did you know before Zoe was born that there was serious difficulties?
No, we didn't. Okay. But
your point is, and forgive me even for trying to paraphrase it, Ronan, given what you've been through. Your point is, if you had known, you would have made a decision before birth.
Yeah, well, if we'd known what was ahead, I mean, I do think so, yeah. And just even to have the choice there, I mean, that's the nature of the thing, is choice, you know.
Yeah. Can I bring Kate in? Kate Douglas is in Waterford. Kate, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. Hi.
Good. Ronan says, among the, but that what he thinks Micheál Martin did was quite brave yesterday. What do you think of what Micheál Martin
did? Well, I don't think that's very difficult, because I also had, my cousin had a baby with fetal abnormalities, but just the Micheál Martin thing, I just think that it's a bit cynical. He changed his view completely. Is he looking to the voters of the future, where his power base is going to be, and say, okay, it's young, it's urban voters, and that's where my power base is going to be? So he changed his stance. Is he playing politics with everything, in the sense of, as well, that, you know, the idea of stealing Leo's thunder, I'm out before Leo is saying what I believe, getting in there first. Is he scoring political points?
Well, what is your... I can't answer those questions. What is your answer to those questions?
Yeah, well, I think he might be, I think it's a kind of a cynical view at the minute.
Were you surprised?
I was very surprised, and I was also very surprised at the his stance on the 12 weeks, mm-hmm. you know, on demand up to 12 weeks. Because I suppose I might as well say, because I strongly believe that abortion in itself is wrong, and I don't think it's just a Catholic issue. I think lots of non-Catholics believe that it's wrong, and that the right to life is paramount, and that it predicates all other choices. So that's my personal belief, but it just struck me as I was listening to the coverage from yesterday and this morning, mm-hmm. and that God, is this just cynical? Because you know, it seems to be like political point scoring. That's what I feel. Not sure, but
okay. And you mentioned, and I don't want anyone's name or anything, but you mentioned that a relation of yours had a baby with a fetal abnormality. And what point are you making there, Kate?
Sorry. Well, I'm making the point that I don't agree after... I wasn't through with it. It was my cousin. And her baby was diagnosed at the 20-week anomaly scan with Edwards syndrome, and it's not compatible with life. And she basically had two options, whether to continue with the pregnancy or she was told, well, you know, maybe you should terminate the baby.
Well, you should leave the country and terminate the baby.
Well,
it can't be done here.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, to go to England and terminate the baby. But she thought about it, and she decided that the baby, she could feel the baby was alive in the womb, and she decided that she wasn't going to do, as she says, any harm to the baby, and that she was going to be the mother to the baby as long as she could. And then the baby died in the womb, and she delivered her baby, brought the baby home to the family. We had a family wake and a funeral and all of that. Mm-hmm. And now she's campaigned for every life counts. and that's her firm belief. And what she does is she just tells her story. She's not saying, vote this way, vote that way. This is my experience. This is what I believe. All life is precious. And so... But on
given now, I know there's two separate issues here. One, the real issue that will be put to the people, and that is, do you wish to repeal the Eighth Amendment? Or what goes in its stead, we do not know. Will it just be removed completely, which is the and nothing written in and then legislated by the legislature being allowed, so to speak, legislate on it. You're against the repeal of the Eighth?
I'm against the repeal of the Eighth, yes I am. But I also, from having been through, in a way, like with my cousin, I also feel that there's not a huge amount of support out there. If they are, they're not as easily available as they might be, you know, the support groups. I think also we need to lobby the government and the health service to put in more support for women, say, who find themselves in a crisis pregnancy situation and in dire straits, and also mothers who have been diagnosed with a baby that's not going to live. So I think you need to put in a lot more support to support your choice, whatever your choice is. And I would obviously be advocating that abortion is not freely available, you know, on demand up to 12 weeks. I just wouldn't.
And should it be allowed as a choice in fatal abnormality without any gestation restriction?
No, I don't think so. No, I'm also a nurse and I've worked all my life with people with learning disabilities, and I also firmly believe from my experience that people are precious. Everybody has a role, even if you have a severe learning disability or whatever. So I don't think so. I think with people with fatal abnormalities, you know, put in the supports and the structures and the aftercare, which is very important, and all of that. I think that needs to be stepped up.
Just before the break, just to ask you to clarify about your relation, your cousin. Is your cousin in favour now of women in Ireland being allowed? She was quite clear she wasn't going to leave the country and terminate the pregnancy with fatal abnormality. But does she believe that women in Ireland should be allowed to have that choice and have the procedure, the abortion done in Ireland?
That, to be quite honest with you, I don't know. All I know is that she feels she did the right thing.
Okay,
that,
I'm just trying to clarify whether she's going to advocate on the one hand and say, try and persuade people, if you are in that very, very, very difficult situation, as enunciated by Ronan, it's slightly different, but that you would have the choice. I know she's going to try and, you said she's campaigning to persuade people, but the legislation at the moment, doesn't just dissuade, it disbars. It's illegal to perform an abortion in Ireland with very severe penalties in the case of a fatal abnormality. And you don't know.
No,
What would your own position be, Kate?
My own position would be that I think abortion in itself is wrong, so I wouldn't be in favour, but I would be in favour of putting supports in to help everybody.
Okay,
I also wouldn't judge anybody either, because I don't think that's what it's about.
Okay,
I'll
take that point.
Okay,
say what is 51551 Joe at rt.ie. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good. What do you think of Micheál Martin's new position?
Well, what bothers me, Joe, is, you know, people should be allowed to have a free choice on this issue. It's very much a personal matter. My problem in Ireland is that if somebody makes, it doesn't matter what choice many of the politicians will make, it is their free choice. And I would say I don't support any party as a matter of interest. But I feel that I just see by the comments that are coming that there's going to be a witch hunt now and they're going to destroy this man. Everybody has the right to change their time.
We leave out the word witch hunt, seriously. But,
that's what I feel it is, Joe.
Okay, you think it could damage him politically?
Oh, there's no question, Joe, from the comments. There's people saying that, you know, they would have voted for him, but now they won't.
Within his own party, or generally?
I'd say with the public. I'd say generally. I'd say more with the public, and I'd say certainly with the older vote.
And what about the point, I think it was Patricia made earlier, who, by the way, would be, I think, the same position as yourself. But she said, well, Micheál Martin, many in Fine Gael, Labour Party, Sinn Féin haven't fully articulated their position, but definitely going in that direction. That the leaders of the main political parties, and of course the independents, are all in favour, it now seems, of repealing the eight. And most of them that have spoken are in favour of replacing it with the recommendations of the Dáil Committee, which is, to read it out clearly, one of the recommendations, the committee recommends that the law should be amended to permit termination of pregnancy with no restriction as to reason, provided that it is availed of through a GP-led service delivered in a clinical context as determined by law and licensing practice in Ireland, with a gestational limit of 12 weeks. Now, that's an all-party committee. So you could...
You know, it sounds very reasonable, Joe. I suppose my problem is, and now I know it's other countries as well, but I mean, if people are going to be, I would think this is a very personal issue, okay? Everybody has their own opinion on it, okay? Just because something becomes law doesn't mean that the floodgates are going to open. Mm. I don't agree with that. I don't think any woman makes that decision lightly. I really don't. There are, unfortunately, some women in very difficult situations that will make that decision. And I just think that everybody should be allowed to make the decision. They should be allowed to make the decision with no guilt. And what's right for one person isn't necessarily right for the other. I have been in a position myself very similar, you know, to the difficulties that this law is trying to alleviate for women. And really, there's a very good expression, Joe, until you walk in my shoes, you do not know my experience.
Okay.
So, and another point, Joe, that I wanted to make as well, which was what I text in with, I am in my late 50s, Joe, right? Okay. This issue does not affect me, okay? It is never going to affect me. I feel the problem is that an awful lot of people who are not open to discussion, not open to any change, they are people that this does not affect also.
So I
think that's very relevant, Joe.
Okay, so you're saying I support what Micheál Martin has done, though I think it will damage him severely.
Absolutely, and
okay,
I think
stay with us, Mary. Pat McGarry is in Meath. Pat, good afternoon, and a member of Fianna Fáil. What do you think of Mary's point? She supports the position adopted by Micheál Martin, but she thinks it will damage him politically, within and without his party.
I think Micheál Martin, as leader of a party, needs to represent that party as opposed to having his own opinion. The party voted in October to support life at our election in the RDS. We supported that, and Micheál Martin stands flies in the face of what the Ardaish voted for, what the members voted for at the Ardaish. We voted to support life, and what Micheál Martin is doing now is opposing that view.
And
so I think the position is questionable.
Okay, what are you suggesting might happen?
Well, what I'm suggesting might happen is that Micheál Martin is now answerable to the members of Fianna Fáil. As a member of Fianna Fáil who knocks on doors looking for people to vote for Fianna Fáil, we have to answer to the people at the doors. And if we're knocking doors and asking people to support a pro-choice stance as opposed to a pro-life stance, that flies in the face of what we voted for in October. So I think Micheál Martin's stance is very questionable. And as is, by the way, Billy Kelleher and Lisa Chambers, who sat in the Dáil Committee, who voted for an open-ended choice up to 12 weeks. That's not what the members of Fianna Fáil voted for. That's not what the members of Fianna Fáil stand for. And that's not what I stand for. So I know that the leader of Fianna Fáil now is not supporting the grassroots member of Fianna Fáil who voted to support life as opposed to support choice.
But you're in Meath, aren't you? So are you in Thomas Bourne's constituency?
I'm in Shane Castle's position.
Okay. Well, I know Thomas Bourne made his another Fianna Fáil TD, and he made his position clear this morning that he doesn't support what Micheál Martin or indeed the committee is advocating.
And I commend him for that. Absolutely.
Okay, but is that not speaking to the point that Micheál Martin is making, that when it comes to what happens after, what way you vote in the referendum, the Fianna Fáil will not be knocking on doors asking people to vote one way or another on the referendum?
Micheál Martin represents a party. It's not a personal choice. He's the leader of a party. And the party took the stance, the members of the party took the stance to support life. So Micheál Martin has to support that decision.
But the Ardesh,
he resigned.
I take your point. Just remind people of the level, because I saw a bit of it on TV at the time, Pat, but the level of support for the pro-life position, as it's called, at the Fianna Fáil Ardesh at that afternoon session.
It was an overwhelming choice. It was an overwhelming decision to support life. It wasn't 52-48 or 53-47. It was overwhelming. And the grassroots members of Fianna Fáil voted, and overwhelmingly voted, to support life. So what Micheál Martin has done...
Just substantively on the day, the Ardesh, which again, the Fianna Fáil TDs make the point it's a consultative forum, but anyway, that that's their view, and that's within the structures of the parties validated. But that afternoon, the members clearly voted to retain the Eighth Amendment, isn't that correct?
Absolutely. And if a leader decides... on a solo run, and it's very much a solo run, if he decides to go against the grassroots members of the party to put him there in the first place, then he has to question his own decision.
But is he not also saying everyone in the party, every TD senator, can go on a solo run?
Yeah, but Joe, he's a leader of the party. He represents everybody. Fine, members are allowed solo runs, but the leader of the party, who represents the voice of the main party, surely to God, isn't allowed to make that decision himself. He has to represent the voice of the body of the party, and the body of the party voted overwhelmingly to support life. And Micheál Martin has gone on a solo run and decided, no, I'm going to disregard what you say, and I'm going to say this is what I want.
Okay, and even though the Fianna Fáil members of the committee, which they point out, we did not sit as a group on this committee. We did not consult each other because we were Fianna Fáil TDs. We all operated individually on the committee.
They're individual members. Micheál Martin is the leader.
Okay,
the
that's fine. You keep
the leader
okay.
represents
okay.
the voice.
Okay, stay there, Pat. Lisa Sheehan is in Cork. 51551 1850 715 815. Lisa, good afternoon.
Hiya, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks. Well, what do you think of the core argument today is obviously the speech made by Micheál Martin and the content of the speech, which is a pretty significant change in his position and indeed the position of any Fianna Fáil leader. What do you think,
That's
Lisa?
Right. I was just kind of ringing in, Joe, because I was a bit sort of perplexed, really, by a few callers kind of just saying that, you know, he's now kind of going with the younger voter and, you know, he's trying to appease them. But I was just saying to a researcher there, like, I'm 46, I don't have any children, I won't be having any children. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think we're always so afraid of letting young people make decisions, you know. I don't understand that. It affects probably them more than it'll affect a lot of other people into the future. That was really it. Like, whether he makes, that's his own point of view. He made a stand. I don't know, will it affect him, you know, with the grassroots or what? But, you know, I think it's a choice. That's what the whole debate is. It's whether you are pro-life, pro-choice. It's to have the choice, to make that choice.
Okay, just... Have you voted for Fianna Fáil in the past?
Yes, I would have. Okay, they wouldn't be my first preference, but you know.
Okay. Would this now change your position?
No, not at all.
Okay. Do you think, as other people have contended, that this will you know, the points that were made earlier, a number of people said he's pandering to the urban young. Do you think the position of Micheál Martin will actually, is propelled by those motives?
I don't know. But I don't know why we would fear the urban young. You know, why wouldn't they have a voice? Why wouldn't a leader of a party come out? And if that's, you know, that's how people feel, that it's urban and it's young people that he's now, you know, looking to bring into Fianna Fáil or whatever. I wouldn't see why there would be a problem with that.
Okay. Thanks, Lisa. I'm going to take a quick break. That was Lisa Sheehan in Cork. And thanks again to Ronan and the other callers that we had on so far, Kate and Pat. Ronan, as I said, and there's another Pat in there as well, and Patricia, 51551.
Talk to Joe, 1850 715 815.
Okay, our listeners have been contacting us about the decision by Micheál Martin in his speech, as enunciated in the Dáil yesterday, to say he does support the repeal of the Eighth Amendment, and he does also support the recommendations of the All-Party Committee, which allows for abortion up to 12 weeks, regardless of the reason, once it's done through proper clinical and medical procedures. And he does allow, he will support legislation, if it comes down the line, for allowing abortion for fatal, in the case of fatal fetal abnormalities, at any time in the pregnancy when that is diagnosed. Let me bring in Amanda. Amanda Gallagher is in Sligo. Amanda, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you and to your listeners? I just want to make a point, Joe, that it's really making me sad, this whole debate about the Eighth Amendment and abortion in Ireland. And I'm really shocked that none of the leaders of our parties, not one, could stand up for the right of the life of the child, Joe. And I just want to tell you a little story, Joe, about myself. My husband, we went to France on holidays like a number of years ago, about 5 years ago. And I was pregnant with our fourth child, and I was 14 weeks pregnant. And as we landed in Nice, I felt very sick, very bad cramps, and we had the children with us. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to go to the apartment. But the next morning I woke up, I had lost the little baby. Oh, and the baby was still born then in the apartment with me. And I called my husband in, and Joe, what I saw, I wish the nation could have seen that day. The most beautiful baby, size of my hand, from her head to her toe. And Joe, she had her hand under her chin, and she was smiling. At the point of her death, she was smiling. And I just, that was the most striking element about the whole thing. I said to my husband, this baby, how was she smiling as she died? But anyway, it brings us back now to the recommendation of the Oireachtas Committee on unrestricted abortion up to 12 weeks, Joe. If our baby could smile and she had emotion, and she's such an early stage of her development, then surely she could have felt pain, Joe. And it makes me very, very sad that no one is, none of our leaders, some politicians are coming out in favour of the baby and pro-life, but no leader is standing up. And I can't believe we're even discussing taking a law, changing a law that's protecting a whole group of people of our society, Joe.
And I know Micheál Martin said he will support abortion up to 12 weeks once it's done through a medical setting, obviously. Would any time frame be acceptable, Amanda?
Not to me. To me, absolutely, after my experience, no way. And it's so, that was the 22nd of June 2011. And on the 22nd of June 2012, a beautiful boy was born to us. And on her anniversary. And it was just so striking to me, Joe. And I will fight. I will keep fighting. I write to every paper. I write letters all the time. And most are printed. I will fight for the unborn.
And have you put your position publicly to decision makers?
Yes.
Tell us.
Yeah, well, our local TDs in Sligo Leitrim here have written all of them. Mark McSherry, well done to him. He has stated he's pro-life. Eamon Scanlon, well done. To Fianna Fáil, I'm sure they are bitterly disappointed with Micheál Martin this morning. Tony McLaughlin has announced him. He's Fine Gael. And I know Sinn Féin, Martin Kenny, is for abortion as well. But it's just so shocking to me. I think they're trying to be, there's a group think, you see, Joe, there's a group think, and there's lobbyists, and there's George Soros, and there's Amnesty International, but not one, nobody, like Simon Harris just tonight, he brought in the Magdalene laundries and Kerry babies and the two mother and baby home. But Joe, the reason we are all shocked and outraged at these terrible scandals in our history is not only the treatment of the women, the treatment of the baby. Who cannot be sickened about the Kerry baby on the beach,
Amanda, for example, people were encouraged to go to the Constitutional Convention if they wished, or to make a submission.
I submitted, and I mean, I don't know, did they even read it? Or I don't know what's going on, John. Joe, it's eerie, and I don't like it, and I just don't hear anybody saying, what about the child? I know the mum might be going through something tragic. I know she might have devastating news. There is a meaning. Life is complicated. But what's not complicated is the baby. It's black and white. There is a baby growing in there who's totally unique, Joe. There is a baby growing. And you were there once. I was there.
In the case of fatal fetal abnormality, do you accept it's not black and white?
it is black and white, Joe. It's a sick little child that mum is carrying him. She's going to be left with a dead baby one day, but to have a part in that death, I think it's disgraceful, and that for us as a society to promote that, it's not caring or compassionate, Joe.
Well, I come back to... I think it was Rory's point earlier. When you use the word promote, are you not what's been offered is not, it is argued, promotion, but rather offering people a choice.
No, we are promoting as a society. We should be promoting help for the families, perinatal hospice afterwards. We should be, as a government, not going to fund abortion, the colossal cost on our health service in dire straits at the minute. We should be, if we have money for that, we should be funding help for single mothers, pregnant women, more adoption services.
Okay, let me bring Paula in, Amanda. Paula is actually in. Paula Duff is listening in Slovenia. Paula, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. Hi.
Good afternoon to you. And you could hear Amanda there, obviously.
Yeah.
What do you think about what Amanda said?
Okay, well, my situation is that I am a nurse and my specialty is clinical genetics. I've worked in that area for nearly 20 years.
Okay.
And I would have been dealing both with women and families who already have profoundly disabled children as a result of some kind of genetic disease, or with women who are pregnant and have just found out as a result of genetic screening or as a result of maybe an ultrasound that the fetus that they are carrying will be profoundly, profoundly disabled.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have to say that in terms of the people who are phoning in and saying that abortion, even in the cases of a so-called fatal fetal anomaly, is wrong, I would fully disagree with them. I'm not sure if those people really, truly understand the implications of such a pregnancy. For many women, it is just so devastating that they just physically and mentally wouldn't be able to go through that situation. And the resulting child, if it is born, is often so profoundly disabled. And it's also important to understand that we often use the term fatal fetal abnormality, but even in the case of something like Edwards syndrome, which is trisomy 18, or Pateau syndrome, trisomy 13, the child can actually live for a significant period of time. You know, there are children on record who have lived for quite some years, but the disability is so profound that in my professional opinion, there is absolutely no quality of life. That would be my opinion. I understand that people feel differently, but that would be my opinion. It's also important to understand that you can be born with something which isn't fatal, where you will live, something like, say, severe mitochondrial disease, where, again, the quality of life is abysmal. We're talking doubly incontinent, blind, deaf, unable to move. I think we have to try and dig deeper and try and understand what we mean by quality of life. But the other thing is, in Slovenia, a woman can terminate a pregnancy for a fatal fetal abnormality right up until the end if it is only diagnosed that late. Now, it usually isn't as a result of prenatal screening.
Yeah.
But the neighbouring country, Italy, they can only terminate up until 24 weeks. So if the diagnosis was gotten later than 24 weeks, many Italian women came to us. Trieste, which is a large Italian city, is literally 40 minutes drive from the main hospital in Udana here. And I would have dealt with a lot of these Italian women. And the idea that in Ireland we are farming women out to the UK to do this in the UK, I've seen how these poor women from Italy, they're distraught and they can't communicate in their own language. Okay, at least an Irish woman in going to the UK can communicate through English. But these women, they don't have their families around them. They don't have the support systems that they need. They're farmed off to a foreign country because Italy doesn't want to deal with the problem. And Ireland is doing exactly the same thing. Prenatal diagnosis exists. Prenatal screening exists. These diagnoses are made. You can't force a woman to keep the pregnancy if she has the money and the information and knows where to go. So just farming it out to England is an Irish solution to an Irish problem, and I don't think it serves anybody.
I disagree, Paula, totally.
Okay, Amanda.
Well, I disagree with that farming out. We're not, how many thousand people have been walking the streets of Sligo or Ireland today saved by the Eighth Amendment and by our laws here on abortion, saved?
I profoundly disagree with you because I've seen this, and we are farming women off to England. If you are pregnant and you get a diagnosis of, let's say, Edwards syndrome, where there is there is a possibility of survival for even some years, but generally speaking, it's incompatible with life. The option is you continue with the pregnancy or you go to England. Those are your options. So we are farming women out to England. People are not stupid anymore. They can go on the internet. They can read what the quality of life this child, if it is born, will have. And as the gentleman who called earlier with his child died
as a result of severe
epilepsy. I have a feeling that it may have been related to severe mitochondrial disease. I sympathize and empathize so much with him because I've seen that. I've seen what the families go through, the blame that's a proportion, the guilt, the breakup of marriages. You know,
and Paula,
we have
Paula,
to dig deeper and figure out
what life is.
Paula, do you not think there's one shred of guilt then if they participate in the termination of their little child?
I participate in the termination of pregnancies continuously, and I have absolutely no problem with that. I believe that
what I'm doing is supporting women who have made a legal...
I don't need you to feel sorry for me.
Well,
I am doing my job in a country where women can make this choice.
Can I say,
and I'm supporting them. It's a choice, not an order. No woman needs to have an abortion. It is for her to make that decision. It is for her to determine.
Okay, we'll let Amanda back in. Go ahead, Amanda.
Okay, it's a choice. It's a choice, exactly. But I think, as a nation, we should stick by the children, sick or not. Stick with them. Stick by them. There are people. How your quality of life? How do you know that that little child, first of all, in the womb, I don't think is any pain, is there, Paula? They're not suffering until they're born. Is that true?
Yeah, but when a couple or a woman gets a specific diagnosis, it is then often quite possible to determine what the quality of life will be. And when we talk about cherishing all the children of the nation and so on, just about a week ago, I don't know whether it was on Joe's show or Sean O'Rourke, a young disabled man in Ireland in a wheelchair, he has to go home to Greystones on a train. He can't even get a train. He's left waiting in the Dart station in Bray until 9 and 10 o'clock at night because we don't provide proper transport.
Well, that's where our money should go then, Paula.
Yeah, we should be looking after the people who are already born and not worrying about those who are not.
Oh, no, no, no. We should accommodate all our future. These children are our future. And another thing about farming people off, Simon Harris has said he has absolutely no problem with scoliosis children, children with scoliosis being farmed off to Germany for surgery. How disgusting is that? Why doesn't he get his head together and get the funding right? And let's sort out Ireland, not kill our children.
Okay, stay there till after this break. 51551.
Talk to Joe. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
John, good afternoon. You were secretary, say, of Fianna Fáil Cumann, still a member of Fianna Fáil. What do you think of what Micheál Martin's, his new position?
Thanks for the opportunity, Joe, to speak. I think leaders of parties have a huge responsibility and they have a huge stage and platform of influence.
Mm-hmm.
And while that may be his personal decision, being leader of Fianna Fáil carries with responsibilities to be balanced and to allow other people and to be aware of the influence he carries around the country.
Mm-hmm.
Could I explain where I'm coming from on this, Joe? 1966, I was 21 years of age and I already had a daughter and I was called to the hospital. My son had just been born. And when I arrived at the hospital, I was told my son had spinal bifida.
Okay.
I had no idea what it was. I was told he wouldn't live. I was told that his life, if he did live a bit, it would be extremely difficult and everything else. But there weren't options in this area at all. My son was born, and I took him to Cumann the first day he was born, and he was operated to close his spine.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 days later, he developed hydrocephalus, which is a water in the brain, and his head swelled. My son is still alive, and he's 51.
Mm-hmm.
He's had 70 operations. He's lost a kidney, his bowel, his bladder, his feet. He's had shunt replaced only a year ago in his head. My son loves life.
Yeah.
He lives to the full, Joe. He lives on his own. He drives his adapted car. By the way, he does walk. I was told he'd never walk. He does walk short distances, but he walks. And the fact is...
And John, how would the position of your wonderful son change under what Micheál Martin is supporting?
He would be considered within the first 12 weeks that this boy will have a difficult life, and he, you know, and he has spina bifida, and his chances are zero. And people and families will opt not to take the responsibility. To
okay, yeah, they will have to. But were you aware before your son was born, and then he was diagnosed with spina bifida?
The
proposals would not change that position.
But it does, Joe. Because what I'm trying to say to you is, this man, as he is now, has enjoyed his 51 years. It was extremely difficult, 70 operations, including some in London.
Yeah.
I would never have had, or should never have had, the choice to decide before the 12 weeks, yes or no.
And have you... I take your point, and I know it's very difficult to be retrospective, but if you had known... Before, within 12 weeks of the pregnancy, that spina bifida and hydrocephalus was ahead. It strikes me that you would have continued.
Yes,
yourself and your wife.
With marriage and with parenting comes the responsibility, and the ultimate aim of all couples is most likely to have a child or children. I had a girl before, and I had another child after that. And my son is a wonderful son, has lived 51 years, and will outlive me. I'm in my 70s now, Joe.
Okay. And have you...
I never got the right to deny him his life. I know it is extremely difficult on him, but he'd go through it all again to live, Joe.
Okay. And John, have you
taken an awful toll
to come back to... I can understand that. But to come back to the point about Micheál Martin...
Yes.
He's now changed his position. It does give people his position, if vindicated by the people to the referendum, repealing the Eighth, and then by the legislature in changing the law. Would give you that option? That's what you're saying. You don't want that. You say people in position should not have had the option. But how does it change your position about Micheál Martin?
You see, people like Micheál Martin and even the Taoiseach and even journalists, Joe, who are regular visitors to RTE on TV3 or whatever, or Vincent Brown or whatever, they become figures in society. And there was one on this morning, I won't mention
sorry, John, I'm going to bring you back to this, today's calls, I know that, but today's calls are generated by a speech and a position adopted by Micheál Martin. You're a member of Fianna Fáil. Have you met Micheál Martin?
Yes.
Would you know
a couple of weeks ago.
Okay. Would you know of your position on this, John?
No.
Okay. Will you now try and contact him with your position?
I will, and let them know. I won't be voting for Paul if that remains. Okay. You see, Joe, it wasn't just a singular vote. He carries substantial weight and influence.
But you're saying I will not vote Fianna Fáil, Micheál?
No. I voted all my life.
Will you leave Fianna Fáil?
Well, I'm more or less gone now. You can say it's gone. It's over.
Okay. Back after this break. 51551. Stay there, John.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Anne Tormey, Anne, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good. Micheál Martin and this debate.
Yes, well, I'm not at home. I'm just on my mobile phone.
Okay.
I just feel the people on your show shouldn't be coloured by his voting rights, by a politician's personal views.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Micheál has a right to his own view. I don't know the man, and I didn't hear his speech. I'm not at home, and I wasn't listening to the radio. But he has a right to his view, and it doesn't mean that everybody has to turn against him. First of all, the pro-choice people, the pro-life people, will never have an abortion in Ireland or the UK. So it doesn't change anything for them. The pro-choice people have a choice, and that's what it's all about. I mean, people who are totally against abortion under any circumstances will never have one, whether it's in Ireland or England or France or anywhere in the world. they have, but the people who need to or who have to or want to have a choice. And I think life is about choice. I was in love with a man whom I couldn't marry because there was no divorce in Ireland. We lived together for 20 years. His wife died and we got married and we were married for 25 years. We were together for 45 years. So, you know, I could blame my country for the fact that I wasn't able to marry this man. But I don't. I love Ireland. But there is
a difference in the issue or the context of abortion is, well, okay, you couldn't marry him anywhere because you're married.
Yeah,
in Ireland.
I promised my mother that I would never have an illegitimate child, never had a child.
Okay, then divorce was introduced, but you couldn't have gone to another country and got divorced.
No, we couldn't, because he was a diplomat, but at the moment you can go
to another country and have an abortion.
Yes, well, why should you have to? But this is a republic we live in. This is Europe. The people who are pro-life will never have an abortion in any country. The people who are pro-choice shouldn't have to get on a boat or a plane and go abroad and keep it a secret all their lives. It's wrong, Joe. It's wrong that people cannot have a choice. I love children. I have nothing against people having wonderful families. I came from one. But I do believe we have a right to a choice always in everything in life. Everything.
We've
just been through the Me Too campaign. Okay, you know,
and I see the first line of your call. I don't know whether you want to enunciate it.
You can say it if you wish.
No, I want you. I don't want to put words in
your mouth. Yeah, I had an abortion because I promised my mother under oath that I would never have an illegitimate child. I wrote it down. And I couldn't marry this man until his wife died and I was 45 and he had a vasectomy so we could at least have a good life together. And I have no children. And I regret that, but I'm not bitter about it. I had no choice. I was living in America with him. I would have lost my visa. We weren't married. Okay. And I would have come back to Ireland and everybody would have said, yes, you shouldn't have lived with him. It was a sin in the first place.
And I have to ask you the question.
So I committed two sins. I'm doing this on the radio and I'm a stupid bitch to do it because everybody will hear. My parents are dead. My husband is dead. And it doesn't matter anymore.
Don't say that.
But people should have a choice, Joe. And I'm really angry about the fact that everybody blames me, old Martin, for having his opinion.
Okay. And the final question, because I'd be accused of being remiss, if I don't ask, do you regret then having an abortion in your 20s?
No, I don't regret. Okay. I had no choice, Joe. I would have lost my visa. I would have had to come back to Ireland. I promised my mother I wouldn't have an illegitimate child. I would have come back in my early 20s with a baby. My husband had 5 sons at the time and a wife still living. It was a nightmare situation. Okay. It really was. But I really regret the fact that I couldn't marry him until I was 45. I was too old to have, and I have no children now. Okay. And, you know, I'm over 70. When something happens to me, I have nobody to look after me out of love and guilt or both. And, you know, I sort of blame Irish law. We could have got a divorce if he wasn't a diplomat.
Okay.
We could have.
Okay. And thanks indeed.
I really
appreciate that.
Thanks. Say hi to Angus.
Okay,
when he called me, I wasn't going to stop.
Okay. Thanks for
pouring rain.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Thanks for your contribution, as indeed every other single contribution today. Bronan Hillan was our broadcast coordinator. Dave Gibson on sound. Liam Murphy was on research. And today's producer was Fergus Sweeney. And the series producer is Angus McAnally. And Ray Darcy is next.
Live Line on RTE.